our scripture from Prince Jaron Russell.
Today I will be reading scripture Romans chapter 12, 1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reason unto God, which is unto reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that God good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Thank you, Prince Jaron Russell. Now we will have prayer for Princess Devin Josie.
And close your eyes. Thank you for this day. Thank you for my grandma. Thank you for my papa. Thank you for everyone I love. Thank you for the people that I have in my heart. Thank you for my aunt Courtney. Thank you for my family, my friends, the gospel that I have. When it's Jesus time, we got Jesus time. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That is for you.
Thank you, Princess Devin Josie. Now we will have a welcome from Princess Taylor Williams.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Revival, and I hope you guys enjoy it and have a good time.
Thank you, Princess Taylor Williams. Now we will have our intro speaker, Pastor Joseph Randall Wright.
Thank you, Javon. Amen. Thank God. Did y'all hear that prayer? Did y'all hear that prayer? Amen. She said, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Papa. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. So can we just give God a hand clap of praise? He's worthy. Y'all look beautiful sitting out there. Amen. So we just thank God. And so we just want to do a song before we introduce Minister Xavier. He's still a minister, but he just finished his degree. Amen. His seminary degree. And we just thank God for him being with us. But so much more important than a degree, Then the BA is he's born again and he knows Jesus Christ in the pardon of his sins. And we just thank God. One thing I thank God for Xavier, I'm telling you, is his humility. He's humble, amen. And I thank God he don't come arrogant. And y'all know what? He was a part of Community Baptist Church. Well, his father is Kevin Wright and his mother is Sylvia Wright. And so he came up in CBC. And the Lord is really doing great things in his life. And he's got two children. Amen. And his wife, Ventress, who couldn't make it tonight. But we just listen. We thank God for his life. And we thank God because guess what, y'all? We know we're going to get the word on tonight. Amen. So the next voice that you will hear after my voice will be that none other than Minister Xavier Wright from Delaware Valley Community Church. Amen. Hear he him as he's come.
Test.
Amen. I won't be afraid because I know that you are with me. Anybody excited that we got a God that will be with us through the valleys of the shadow of death, through our good times and our bad? We got a God who will lead, guide, and direct every single step of the way. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be invited back again. It's good to be back home, surrounded by so much family. And I grew up in this church. Yeah, that's right. My great-grandfather, right, in 1962. He was the founder. And, you know, I'm just excited to be back, see so many familiar faces. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. Like I said, I'm excited. Youth Revival. Anybody excited about a Youth Revival this evening? Amen. I work in the school. And I see the need for a youth revival. It's getting crazier and crazier every single day. So we need a word from the Lord. Amen. So if you don't mind, would you turn with me to John chapter 1. And we'll read four verses. Verses 35 through 39. That's John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of God's Holy Word. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. And it reads this way. The next day, John again was standing with his two disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned around and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The word of God for the people of God. Let's look to the Lord. Dear Lord, we're thankful for this evening. We're thankful for the ability to gather, even outside, looking at your wonderful creation. We're praying, oh God, that you will speak through me. Send the word, oh God, that something said, something done, might challenge us to be followers of you. We need a word, oh God. Send revival, even now. We need you, Lord. I can't do it without you. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about, I got a made up mind. Point me to Jesus. I got a made up mind. Point me to Jesus. It was the summer of 2012, and I had just finished a summer class at Burlington County Community College. It was about 10 p.m., and I was heading back to my car. My car at the time was a 1990 Volvo 240S. Very reliable car at times. But I was tired and I was ready to get home. Only problem was I knew how to get to the college, but I had difficulty coming back. So I left the campus, made a couple lefts, couple rights. I ended up at the entrance of the Fort Dix base. Military base. I said, "Okay, that's not right." So I turned around. I made another left and another right. Found myself on a straight road. Turned again. I was back at the college. I was like, "Oh no, this is horrible." So I went back. Instead of making two rights and three lefts, I went straight, made four rights, five lefts, found myself somehow on the highway. I was like, yes, I'm finally going somewhere. But it got worse. I found myself going up the turnpike towards Newark and New York. I was like, all right, wait a minute, where am I going? On a half tank of gas, in a car older than me, I started calling people. All right, how do I get home? I don't know which way to go, because there was no GPS in the car. That's a 1990 Volvo. All right, I had no idea where I was going. All I knew it was going north. There was no exits in sight. And it was at that moment I was like, I got a made up mind. I need to go in the right direction. I need somebody to point me in the right direction. And that's exactly what we see here when we look at the text in John chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Whenever you read the Gospel of John, in fact, it's one of my favorite books, written around 90 AD. And it simply is to point people to Jesus, right? To let them know he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God. And through believing in him, you can have life in his name. So we see here, John is standing right here with his disciples, and Jesus passes by. He points him out. He says, look, there goes the Lamb of God. Soon as the disciples heard that, they went to follow him. Jesus saw them following him, and he said, what is it that you want? He said, and the disciples said, we want to stay with you. Where are you staying? Jesus invited him. He said, come and stay with me. And if I could put this sermon in a sentence, it'll simply be, when you're tired of going in the wrong direction and you need somebody to point you in the right direction, you can always look to your friends, look to somebody who has Christ-like character. They will make sure they point you in the right direction, but it's up to you. You got to have a made-up mind. Somebody say made-up mind. When we look at this text, we see John is positioned around positive people. Verse 35 says that John is standing with his two disciples. Now, that's a small verse of scripture, but it can't be overlooked. Standing with someone usually signifies that you're in a relationship with them, that you're usually friends, you know, that you're around positive people, okay? And we already know that John is a trustworthy person, right? John has been preaching. He's been preaching, get the road ready for the Lord. He's been telling the disciples all he knows about Jesus. John's not concerned about fitting in. He's not concerned about having to fancy his clothes. He just instructs people on the way to Christ. Okay? And we got to thank God for the people in our lives who show us to Christ. Our youth leaders, our mentors, our mothers, our fathers, right? Because they're the ones who are pointing us to Jesus. Right? Who is in your friend circle? Who are the people in your life that's making sure that you're following the way that you are to go? Who are the people that's pushing you on to follow after Jesus Christ? Right? Who are you taking daily advice from? I know all your friends may not be Christian, but if it's not one, you ought to be that one. Right? You ought to be the one that demonstrates Christ-like action in your life. And I bet you that if you start acting like Christ, your friend circle will change. For better or for worse. Right? I heard it said before that you preach the gospel wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. We see that John surrounds himself with positive people, and John also points to the Prince of Peace. He says, look, verse 36, there is the Lamb of God. He saw Jesus walk by, and he got excited. Right? He pointed. He said, that's the Lamb of God right there. And I love John. John is consistent. See, he's always pointing people to Jesus. He did it in private, in public, in verses 19 through 28 of this very chapter, right, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He did it in private, verse 36, with his two disciples. He's always pointing people to Jesus. It's not about him. He's always making sure that Jesus is first and foremost in everything. And, you know, sometimes it's easy, if I could pause parenthetically, as a preacher, to forget that your job is to point people to Jesus, right? Because sometimes we like to think that's all about us, but that's not the case. See, our job, my assignment is to point people to the true and living God, to point people to Jesus Christ, right? I'm not up here to perform. It's no performance up here, right?
my preaching ought to have some pointing in it. Okay? Pointing to Jesus. If my preaching has no pointing, then I'm only performing for people. And that's not what it's about. So I love John right there. So when the preacher pointed, when John pointed to Jesus, his people that he was with, they pursued him. Verse 37 says that when they saw, when the two disciples heard him say this, they went and followed Jesus. They heard and followed Jesus, So when he heard John say the Lamb of God, immediately they already knew from his teachings, they said, okay, Lamb of God, that means that's the one that's going to take away the sins of the world. That's the one who I need to go follow. So they weren't dependent on the preacher no more. They went to go have a relationship with Jesus Christ for themselves. And you know that's important because it's going to come a time where mommy won't be around, daddy won't be around. So we got to know Jesus for ourselves. Right? They heard Lamb of God. They looked at their lives. They looked at how messed up they were. Right? How many times they messed up, how many times that they fell and tripped and bumped their knee. They were excited to see Jesus Christ, right? And Jesus is leading in the way that they ought to follow. Look at those two verbs, heard and followed. They heard what John said, and they made a decision to follow after Jesus. So when you hear, that's in your mind. And it goes down to your heart. Oh, I love Jesus. Right now, my own will is at the way, out the way, and I'm going to follow him. I made up in my mind that I'm going to follow Jesus. It's in my heart now. I love Jesus. My will is out the way, and I'm following Jesus with my feet wherever he goes. Our mind, our heart, our will, and our action. That's what faith is. It's more than just believing that Jesus Christ died on our sin. The holistic part of faith is cognition, affection, volition, and action. I just said heart, mind, soul, and strength. That sounds familiar. Mark chapter 28, verse 29 and 30, right? What is the greatest commandment? Jesus answered. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is equal as this. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a total action of what faith is. So Jesus hears the people as they're following him. And he gets straight to the point. Verse 38. He says, what do you want? Another translation, what are you looking for? Another translation, what are you after? Jesus hears people following him. And the reason why he raises this question, you'll learn later on in the book when you read John chapter 2, verse 24, and John chapter 6, verse 26. People often only want to follow after Jesus because they want something. Right? In chapter 6, they wanted that bread. Right? They wanted more bread. They wanted more miracles. Right? They didn't want Jesus for him. So he has to ask the question, what is it that you're looking for? We do that with our parents. Right? Hey, mom, I haven't seen you in a long time. And knowing in the back of our mind, we want something. We want some money for the mall. We want some, ice cream man just passed by. We want some ice cream. That type of idea. We know what that type of situation is like. So that's what he gets. He gets to the point. But listen to what the disciples say. Where are you staying? They're not asking for anything. They want to know, Jesus, where are you staying? Where can I spend time with you? They don't have their hand out. They want to hear teaching from Jesus Christ. Where are you staying? Right? Not what are you doing. They put an emphasis on spending time with Jesus. And Jesus gives them permission to follow. Jesus told them, come and see. Those two verbs, come and see, those are continual actions, right? So when you come to Jesus, you got to keep on coming. When you see Jesus, you got to keep on seeing, right? This is a continual action and he invites them to, right? And also notice that last verse, verse 39, when it says that it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That means it was 2 hours before sunset. It was the end of the day. Kind of like now. Yiz is tired. Right? But the fact that he still invites people to where he was getting ready to lay his head, even though he was still tired from the long day's journey, he still brought those new disciples along because he knew that what he had to share was important. Eternal life is important. Salvation is important. So that's why he invited them. Can you imagine what it's like spending at least 8 hours face to face with Jesus Christ? They were there, probably asking him about, all types of questions. You know, what's it like, being Jesus? Where do you sleep? What do you eat? What's your favorite thing to do? What makes you mad? What makes you upset? 8 hours. What are some of the questions you would ask Jesus if you were there face to face for 8 hours? At least 8 hours. Right? This was the opportunity right here to get close. And that's what they did. Right? It's often said that you are like the three most people who you hang around the most. What if those three people was Jesus Christ? So I kept driving on that highway. Luckily, I found the Sunoco. Told the man, I said, look, I'm lost. How do I get back home? I'm trying to get to Willowboro. He said, well, you're going the wrong way. You need to turn around. Take this jug handle, get to the other side, go on down south. Right? So I did what he told me. I started seeing signs. I saw, what was I? 8A, so it was like Jamesburg. Kept going down to 7. I saw Bordentown, Trenton. I was like, ooh, I kind of know way around Trenton. So I got up at that exit. Right? Drove through Trenton to get to the other side to what I know now is 295. Kept taking that exit all the way down to 45A, Willowboro, New Jersey. I want you to notice the aspect of this story. When I decided to turn around, I was still very far from my destination. The initial decision to live for Christ does not mean we have arrived. It only means that we are headed in the right direction. When we decide to live our lives for Christ, it's a continual process each and every day. Each and every day we begin to look more and more like Jesus. Jesus is, if you will, remodeling our lives. Right? If I told you that I'm going to remodel my house, right, and I invite you over to my townhouse, and I say, look, I remodeled, but I only put a microwave in there. You're like, you did not remodel your house. I said, look, it's a new microwave. That is not remodeling, ladies and gentlemen. When I say I remodeled, that means I tore down that ugly wallpaper, right? I pulled up the stinky carpet. I redid the bathroom, took out the old kitchen, put in a new kitchen, took out the old tub, put in a new tub. The outside of the house looks the same, but when you come on the inside, you see hardwood floor, right? Laminate cabinet, countertops. It's new on the inside. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. A change we can believe in. What's keeping you from following Jesus Christ today? Perhaps it's not the popular thing to do in 2022. A lot of people might have decided to walk away, give up on Christianity, right? But you can give your life to Christ right now. You can turn around right now. You won't arrive yet, right? When we arrive, that's when we're up in glory, right? Face to face with Jesus Christ. But right now, you can decide to turn around. But it all starts with a made up mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps you're here today and you, in your mind, you decided, you know what? This man named Jesus, God in the flesh, he sounds like a pretty good person to follow. The one that's going to take away sins? My sins? Oh yeah, I want him. I know my friends may not be following him. I know it may not be the popular thing to do, but I need it for myself. And if I'm talking to you this evening, I need you to come forward and we're going to pray this prayer. Let us stand, if we could all stand. If you made a decision to follow after Jesus Christ and to model your life after him, meet me down in the front. We're going to pray a prayer thanking Jesus for the decision. Is there one? If Jesus is pulling on your heart right now, you need to come on. Make the decision today. Is there one? Is he speaking to you and you're being reluctant to move? What's going on in your heart? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? You can make a difference in your school. Right? You can make a difference. You could be that one who's not cutting up during lunchtime in the cafeteria, or who's not saying mean words to the teacher. That could be you. You can make a difference. And if that's you, then your friends will start to change. Your environment will start to change. Is there one on this evening? If somebody raised their hand, if you're shy and you don't want to come up front, just raise your hand. That'll work too. Jesus sees your hands. I said, come on. I see you coming. There's two friends talking to each other right there. Do y'all want to come? Y'all talk to each other. Come on. Nobody's afraid. Come on up. Take yourself to Jesus. Amen. There we go. Right here, right here. See, when Jesus speaks to you, you know, every now and then you're not sure what are people going to think. These people are excited for you. These people are excited that somebody, young people, finally made the decision to give their life to Jesus Christ. Is there anybody else? Come on, two people already came up. It's a diet. Tomorrow is not promised. You're here today, gone tomorrow. Life is but a breath, but a vapor. Right? Is there one? There's one more. Come on. I see you. There's two more. Come on. Five. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Because I'm getting ready to pray. Anybody else? There's one more. Amen. Amen. See, what this means now, ladies and gentlemen, is that you just made a decision to be like Jesus Christ. Jesus seen this all along because he stands outside of time. But he touched on each and every one of your hearts to come down here this evening. And only Jesus, only the work of the Holy Spirit can do things like this. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Lord, we're thankful that you spoke to our hearts today. Lord, we need you to continue to do a working on the inside of our hearts. We need you, oh Lord, to show us the way to live. To show us, oh God, that we can be like you in our classrooms, in our friend circles, that the world might want to know, why are we different? Why are we acting this way? And that's our opportunity, oh Lord, to tell about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we continue on this journey, oh Lord, we know there'll be ups and downs. When we're driving in this vehicle of life, we know there's going to be times we run out of gas. But you'll meet us at that gas station. You'll fill us up. You'll keep us on the road. When we experience wear and tear in our bodies, you'll heal. You'll deliver. You'll set free. So would you be with us, oh God? Would you be with us on this journey as a Christian, as a Christ follower? Be with us, oh God. We guide our every footsteps. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Why I sing to you this song, I just want to say that I love you more than me. How many love Jesus?
Xavier for giving the word out today, Lord. We call him back. We'll have him close us out.
Amen. All right. Let's close out in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the word, your word, the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. We're thankful, God, that you thought it not robbery to come down in flesh and dwell among us, to show us how to live, to show us how to love. And all of us at this revival tonight, oh Lord, it's our prayer that we can make a decision for ourselves, even if we didn't come up front, oh Lord, to model our lives after you. Because you are the true and living God. You're the truth and the life. What better person to model our life after than that of Jesus Christ? We're thankful, Lord, for your example. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each of us henceforth, now, and forever. And all of God's people said, amen.